I have a serious conversation I would like to open up. A very serious conversation. We had some discussions this morning about tefillah, and it was pointed out to me that if it isn't an extremely, let's say, meaningful experience, if it isn't an extremely meaningful experience, then it's very difficult for people to sacrifice and, especially at hours that are sometimes uncomfortable or unearthly, to get up without the proper motivation. And motivation is not just is not simply just doing because you got to do, but has to be something meaningful, something passionate, something exciting, something that really could motivate. So I thought that I would try to talk a little bit about those things, but then it was pointed out to me that that's not really the problem. The problem starts way back. Something which, once again, I'm a little disappointed in myself, because I talk about it all the time. I preach about it. But I guess the message is not as clear and as effective as I would think it would be. And that is, like, what's the point of the whole thing? What are we doing here in the first place? Ma choyvosoy bo'olomoy? And even before Machoivosei Boilomoi, it's like, what are we here for? What's going on here? Why are we here? What's happening? So I thought that I would take a few moments today to make a few comments about that, and then invite some conversation, and we'll see where it goes, and hopefully it'll be an ongoing conversation. So first of all, I can only say that whatever I'm going to say is my perspective. Some of it I can, prove from sources, primary sources. Other things may just be my own understanding. So certainly it's very challengeable, open to challenge. And I'm sure we certainly have people here who are up to challenge. We know that. So the combination could be very, can work very well. And basically, I'd like to start by saying the following. We want to understand a lot of things about this world, but there are certain things that we have to just take for granted, because they may be beyond our comprehension. One of the things I think we have to take for granted is that there is truth in the world, that Hashem, whose existence is permanent from immemorial to forevermore, time immemorial to forevermore, his essence is truth. So that truth is a thing that's a reality. Why is that a reality? I guess because it's the most important reality. Why did Hashem make it that way? I don't know, but that's philosophical and beyond the scope of, I think, what we can think. But truth is reality. Truth, that's it. That's what it's all about. Number two, I think, let me just make a few comments first, okay? Just a few comments, all right? Then I'll open the floor, seriously. Then the second thing I think is that part of truth, very related to truth, and very much a part of human nature, is the ability and the realization of the rightness, the truth, the justification, the imperative, the importance of appreciating the good that is done for me. That's just part of human nature. We can appreciate good. In fact, I think we can even appreciate good that's not done for me, that's done for someone else. That's what it says. Hallelu es Hashem kol goyim, shabuchu af al pish kolum af kiv govar aleinu. Rashi says, even though the chesed that he did was to us, not to them, but they should praise Hashem too for this chesed. Because there's an appreciation that Tzelem Elokim, the human being created in the image of Hashem, has an appreciation for good that was done. And appreciation is recognition, And sometimes it's also some type of expression, but it's at least certainly an appreciation. This is the nature of the human being. Hashem created a world for only one purpose. And that's its complete soul and nothing else. And that's the purpose of doing chesed. Olam chesed yibone. The essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as revealed to us in the Torah, is that of HaTovah. And one whose nature is HaTovah, whatever that means in human terms, we don't know in divine terms, then that means he has to give. He wants to give. That's what it's all about. It's about giving. Of course, he had no one to give to. Nothing. Well, I don't know what he had to give, but he had nothing. I guess there was nothing to give to the no one to give to. So he created someone to give to. And he created gifts. And he created need in the someone to give to, so that there should be a need for the gifts, so he could give the gifts, and he would appreciate these gifts that were given. And that's all. That's all it is. It's only about Olam Chesed Yibone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only wants to be meitiv. That's all he wants. There's nothing more than he wants. Ad kidei kach, that every time we get Hanoah, he's like, forgive me, I hope I'll be forgiven for this. Like my old grandmother, who would sit and watch her little grandchildren eat and have such hanoi. She wouldn't even eat, but she'd watch them eating and have such hanoi. The kinder lach essen. Oy, 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 oy. It's the nicest thing in the world. She didn't eat a thing. She does not want to eat sometimes, but she sees them eating. She sees them enjoying it. You know, in the olden days, it used to be also very fashionable to be fat. The grandmothers used to see a thin grandchild and they would say, oh no, no, very sick, there's something wrong, you gotta get fat. You know, today we have a different mentality, but to watch him eat, to have Hanoah from their Hanoah, that would be the ultimate. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavi Yochel. I don't know if you're allowed to say it that way, but he has Hanoah poshut from every single Hanoah that we have in the world. Ad kidei kach, that I've said here 1,000 times, I say Ritzoinei Kirtzoinecho, Kidei Shiaseh Ritzoinecho Kirtzoinoi, that he tells you, reach this level of Ritzoinecho Kirtzoini, so I should be able, Mida Keneged Mida, to give you everything that you want, Kirtzoini, even if you didn't deserve it. And why, that's petty. What do you mean? Tell me to reach the highest level just to get little things? That's what he wants. He wants us to have every single Hanoah. However, he created a world with mishpat, because mishpat is the greatest chesed. El Breishis Bo Elokim is not a stira to Olam Chesed Yibone, because if we earn something, we appreciate it. If we earn something, we're not embarrassed for it. If we earn something, we have ownership. If we earn something, it's ours, it's real, it's true, and it can truly be appreciated and truly be enjoyed, because this is mine, I earned it, I deserve it. Much as the highest form of tzedakah is to give someone a job, because then you're not hurt, you're not giving him that, he doesn't feel embarrassed, he doesn't feel beholden. He earned his keep, he earned his reward, whatever he gets. And that's the system of Mishpat. And in the system of Mishpat, of course, we know Rashi says in Brachos that is built in elements of Chesed. And beyond that, as we've mentioned here many times, that there's this Mida Keneged Mida, which is like extra, even if you can't earn it, and even if you don't deserve it, and even if the Midas HaRachamim can't give it to you, but I'll give you another way to get it. And that's Mida Keneged Mida, do this, that, and the other thing, be Mara Al Midoysev, I'll be Mara Al Pshov, do Ritzoyne Kirtzonecho, then I'll be able to do Ritzoyne Kirtzoyne, all kinds of things, just to be Meitiv, 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 Meitiv. So this is the background, this is the world, this is what the world is. And everything that we do, and everything that we have to do, is only, as the Torah says, and repeats a few times, Retoy Loch. It's all for your benefit, because that's all that I want. I have no needs, I have no desires, I have no chesroinus, I have nothing. And I only created you with your chesroinus, with your needs, and with what to fulfill those needs, only to be able to be making. Now, this in itself, this is the truth, this is the emes, this is what the Torah tells us, this is reality. And in emes, it's machayev a great measure of akoras ha-toiv. Because think about it. Not only is there a being who is meitiv, that's good. He gives me good. He gives me this. He gives me that. He gives me food. He gives me that. But he created the world and created me and created mankind and created need and created all of the benefits of the world only to be able to be meitiv. There wasn't the chesaron that he sees a chesaron and he has rachmanis, so he's going to fulfill it. He created the chesaron. He because he has to be native. He wants to be native. His essence is to be native, create a world and create people and create chesroinus and create hatova, all to be able to be native. So this is the background. This is the context. And I think this is a piece that's very, very important. Everything that we do, everything that we're that we're asked to do, that we're told to do, that we're advised to do, that we're accustomed to doing, everything fits into this category in order just to be able to allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be native. So it's really a very beautiful thing, because really I'm going to do everything to satisfy him and to show my appreciation for him, but it's all really about getting it for myself, and that's not in the least selfish, because that's what he wants. Very nice system. I just want to add one more piece to the system, and then we could discuss it a little bit. And that is as follows. There are basically three major categories of directives in the Torah. There's chukim, umishpotim, and edios. Those are the three. The Rishonim say that the tariag mitzvahs, the directives of the Torah, are broken up into three categories. Mishpotim is beinu l'machaveiroi. That's poshet yashvus and emes and you know, dealings, the propriety, the rightness, the goodness, the honesty, the integrity, the sensitivity, all dealing with matters beinolam chaveroi. And the purpose for that is not because Hashem wants to be mativ to the other people, because he doesn't need us to be mativ. V'horayo, he created the whole world to be mative, so he can continue to be mative. He doesn't need me to be his agent to feed that oni. He can do it himself, just like he created the oni, just like he created me, just like he created my ability, just like he created his need and my need and everything. It's all about me. So I should elevate myself. So I should refine my character. So I should become a better person. So I should be privileged and earn even more hatova, more hatova, more hatova, more hatova. Endless, endless, endless systems of hatova in all my dealings bein olam lachaveirot. Al kantzipo yegil rachamecho. Meshaskin, I say, the Mishnah says. Why? Because, of course, it may be, I mean, some say it's not rachamim, it's a whole machlikis, but of course it may be rachamim. You send away the mother, so then you take the eggs, there's a certain sense of rachamim there, but that's not why. He didn't need you to do rachamim. It's by doing rachamim, you become more of a merachim, and you elevate. So this is a very self-centered operation. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is developing ourselves, so we should earn more and more. Now, besides that, secondly, he created, that's Mishpotim. Then there's Edios. We're very weak. We're weak. We're human beings. We have short memories. We forget. You know, after 3,300 years, we might forget what happened in Mitzrayim. We might forget what happened at Har Sinai. After 5,778 years, we might forget what happened at Brias HaOlam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us edyos. What are the edyos? The edyos are mitzvahs that testify to the yesoidus of our history, the world's history, the Klal Yisrael's history, so that we constantly remember what life is all about. The first edus, the most basic maybe edus, is Shabbos. Shabbos is an edus to my separations. It's so easy to forget that there was a creation. It's so easy to take this creation for granted. It's so easy to forget the Creator. It's so easy to forget that life has a purpose, because if there's no Creator, there's no purpose. And it's so easy just to go, who knows where, just fall off the face of the earth. But no, every Shabbos we remember. He said, Edus to Maise Bereshis. That's one of the Edus. We have Yomim Tovim. We had Pesach Nisim Gluyim, what happened in Mitzrayim, at Ein L'Shayim, Ein L'Tayim. We have Edus, many Edus. On Pesach we have many, many different Edus. We have the Matzah, and we have the Korban Pesach, and we have the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the whole Yontif itself, all Edus to what happened. Shavuos, Edus to Matan Torah. Sukkos, Edus to this miraculous survival that we had in the Midbar to remind us of the Hashgachas Hashem, the Hashgachas Protis, His Hatovah, His involvement in every aspect of our lives, and to inspire us again in a greater sense of Hakoras Hatov, and not to forget all the Hatovah. For example, when you talk about Pesach, you talk about it's really true. I don't know about, you know, physically and who Mitzrayim would be. I know one thing. If someone owns an Eved, then all of the descendants belong to that master. That means that when he freed that Eved, he freed all the descendants. So all the descendants, we're now free today because of what happened over there. So we should connect with it, and we remember it, and it inspires us. So we see the Hatov, and we see the love of Hashem. And again, those are all the Avius, and so much Yomim Tevim, and Shefer, and Tzitzis, and Tfilin, and Mezuzah, all of these things are Avius. And there's a third category, and that is Chukim. Chukim are a little bit more complicated. The concept of chukim alone is also very simple. There are certain mitzvahs in the Torah, gzeira hil milfonai, ve'en lecho reshus lahar acharov. Many say, and it's probably all of the above, that just the fact that there are mitzvahs that we do just because Hashem said so. Everything, vaisdos, is not chukim. And I guess everything, taka, needs to have some sense of the benefit, the direct benefit for us. Otherwise, it's very difficult. And we have many, we've showed over the years, many such chazal and rishonim that explain that. That's very important for us to understand the benefits. Otherwise, we can't really get ourselves to do the way we're supposed to do it. But then, besides that, there's the concept of chuk. There has to be such a thing as a shibut to Hashem. I'm the boss. I told you. I took you out of Mitzrayim. I created you. I took you out of Mitzrayim. I gave you everything. I give you everything. I sustain your life to this very day. You certainly have to also have in your repertoire, also have in your tool chest, one of the things that you do to perfect yourself is to just follow me. And also besides that, all the chukim, if you look to Sefer Achinuch, he explains kibat every chuk. And others too, that have also many individual benefits. But the whole thing is about benefits. Lo nitna hamitzvahs, chazal say, ela letzareif bohenes habriyos. It's all about refining our character, and through the refinement of our character, we become better people, and we become zeichet to more and more and more and more. I think to round this piece out, and I'll be finished with this segment, and that is one more thing, that what is the ultimate pleasure in this world? Okay, some people would opt for physical pleasure. Okay, it's not bad while it lasts, but it's not very lasting. It doesn't have any long-term effects whatsoever, except negative ones. But, when it's done, it's gone, it's done, it's all. It's a memory, maybe, if you think of it. And sometimes it's not such a good memory, and sometimes it's a frustrating memory, but at best, a memory. However, spiritual pleasures are the greatest. Connection to David HaMelech, who knew and experienced everything in the world, Vani Kirvas Elokim LiTov. The ultimate truth is that the greatest pleasure is the Kurva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires a certain sense of capability at our part, which comes from perfecting ourselves and making ourselves more godly. It comes also from developing a relationship with Him that is in doing the mitzvahs and in studying His Torah, where He reveals all of His secrets about Himself and His world to us, and we connect with Him that way. It's through tefillah and bitochin, emunah and bitochin, that a person brings himself closer and closer to Hashem, because I stand before Him like I'm oimid lefnei HaMelech, oimid lefnei HaShchina, and I ask of Him my most heartfelt needs and desires and issues and problems, and I'm turning to Him. So it means I'm turning to Him. Obviously, I realize that He can do everything. Obviously, I realize that He wants to do it. He's sympathetic to me. Otherwise, why would I do it? And each time I develop a deeper sense of connection to Hashem, and therefore a greater pleasure of the moment, which takes time, and the ability to really appreciate that pleasure later on. And that pleasure, I just want to conclude by saying, is in this world, in this world and the next world. It isn't just in the next world. The Torah tells us time and again, this the Arachayim points out, Bohim Shema Tishmu, V'nasati Mitar Artzachem Be'itoi. And again and again, the Torah tells us there is reward in this world. What the Gemara says, schar mitzvah b'hai al maleko, is only that the amount of schar that a person has deserved for doing a mitzvah, that he earns for doing a mitzvah, cannot be paid in this world because the currency is too limited, is too cheap. There isn't enough in this world, there's not enough hano in this world to pay a person for the schar of a mitzvah. Therefore, he isn't going to be properly paid in this world. But that doesn't mean, cholila, by any means, that he isn't being paid. There is schar of tefesh beferish. And that's really what the system is all about. And therefore, I think that tefillah fits into this too, because it's an opportunity to develop a relationship. Now, if anyone knows anything about relationships, development of relationships take time. Some relationships depend on how, you know, if one party in the relationship opens up faster than the other, then the relationship can develop a little faster. If one party is a little more circumspect or a little more, withholden or hold back or even tsanua in a sense, you know, not giving so much, not revealing so much, not talking so much, it takes a longer time. I imagine in this relationship it takes both of us a long time. Because till we really get it and appreciate and understand what we're doing takes a while. And till we can appreciate his involvement, since he's not talking directly to us, except in his Hashgacha Pratis, which I look at as Terem Yikra Elecha Anenu, that if you look at the Hashgacha Pratis, you see he actually answers so much of our tefillahs even before they happen. You just have to wake up and open your eyes and see. But either it's a time, it's a relationship, but it's a relationship which ultimately is the greatest Hanah, which ultimately is the Tachlis of the Bria, which ultimately is the greatest expression of appreciation to the Bayer Yerilam, who created us just for this purpose. And it's certainly the greatest opportunity to benefit not only in that eternal connection and that spiritual uplift, but push it in the daily needs of life by having an address that we can turn to with sincerity and with confidence that this is what he wants and this is what he is and this is what he's concerned about.
Adkan. From
the word Hashem Sfosai Tiftoch until the word Oyse Sholim Bimroima, and maybe even Ruchshonim Kadmoyinis. Every word. Every word.
So why should anybody come davening before 8?
Good question. Very good question. Thank you for that question. The answer is that as it is, we have enough difficulty connecting with that relationship because we're not attuned. We haven't warmed up to that relationship. So the brochos, the birchas hashachar, and the psukei de zimra, and the birchas kriyashma, in a sense, could be looked at as the warm-up, getting us ready to be able to appreciate that relationship. When Chazal say that the chiyuv of smichas gula l'tfila, the Gemara says, is a marshal to a person comes banging on the melech's door, and he says, Melech, you're the greatest, you're the most wonderful, I love you, you're this, you're that, the other thing. And then the melech opens the door, and he runs away and doesn't ask. Narena, fool, you have an opportunity, you got the melech, you buttered him up, your mamash, look what you did, you made him feel so good about himself. Take advantage of the opportunity. Obviously the Chazal, wait. Obviously the Chazal didn't mean butter. You know, that they weren't talking about buttering, and they weren't talking about flattering influence. Flattery will get you anything. But once we finish the sentence. But what they were obviously saying was, is that I'm in the mode where after that, I appreciate if I know his greatness and his closeness and his caring, so that I'm in a situation where I can believe and I can feel that he's going to respond. And I come to him with more bitachon, with more confidence, with more dveikus, with more connection, and therefore it's a more effective tefillah process.
Yeah. Zimra and Birchas Kriyashma. What's the difference
between
Zimra and Birchas Kriyashma?
Oh, the difference? Oh, so listen. What?
Mincha Maariv.
Oh, everything all at once?
Yeah.
Do we have till Mincha Maariv to discuss it?
Okay.
So first, in terms of Birchas Kriyashma, see, Birchas Kriyashma is a really series all it is, all Birchas Kriya Shema is praises of Hashem. That's all it is. We make a bracha on Uvshirei David Avdecho Nahalelcho Hashem Lokeinu Melech Muhul Abatishbochis Yistabach Shimcho Riboyim Kolamasim Abeche Bishirei Zimro. And that's the bracha before and the bracha after, all on praising Hashem. This praising Hashem is something that's very important for us to have a sense of. It isn't, as people, unfortunately, a lot of people I've heard from misunderstand, that it isn't that he has ego problems, that he needs praise, that we butter him up with praise, that we blind him with these compliments. He doesn't need those compliments. He doesn't care about those compliments. As we've mentioned many times, it's the equivalent of having the king walking into this room and welcoming him as the king of the room when he's the king of the whole nation. So it's an insult, but it helps us because we appreciate him more. We understand him more. Because What? Of course he is. I say, welcome king of this room. Hey, better. Welcome king of the toilet. You are the king of the toilet. What? No, it's an insult. What?
It's not an insult.
I don't know what you're talking about. Doesn't that flow? It's an insult. Doesn't mean whether he'll get insulted or not, but it's an insult.
No, isn't the problem that you view it as an insult?
That's right. Oh, it is an insult.
So it's not an insult.
What? That's an insult. You're saying something insulted. You mean, does he get insulted? No, I take it back. I'm sorry, I didn't know that you meant that. Does he get insulted? Of course he doesn't get insulted. But it's an insult. He really should get insulted. If he was insultable, he'd be insulted. But it's not. He doesn't get insulted because he doesn't get insulted. You're right. But it's all for our benefit. Then when you get to the Birchas Kriya Shema, the Birchas Kriya Shema is something.
Well, if somebody's davening to Hashem and has that relationship with Hashem, then why does a person necessarily feel like they need to sit there each morning and morning and morning after morning, have to go through and say the same praises to him every morning before they start doing it?
You know something? I'll tell you what?
One, that's not even your praise. Someone else told you how to praise him. Well, hey, this is how you butt up your butter.
Wait. You see that word you use? That butter is a very... Everybody likes butter, you know what I mean? But it's not... Wait, hold one second. So wait a second. Rabbi Isai, wait a second. So I want to ask you a question, yeah? This is a very good point. I want to ask you a question. You hear? I want to ask you a question, yeah? Everybody in this room has once said Psukei Dezimra, I assume. Is that a fair assumption? Everybody in this room has once... All together, on all the days together, maybe once said Psukei Dezimra. One second. Everybody said... Okay, everyone... Everybody, listen. Shh. I want to ask you a question. Do you really think that that's enough? Now let me ask you another question. Do you think in a human relationship, well, let's take not just a plain human relationship, let's take the human relationship that Shlomo HaMelech has compared to the relationship between Hashem and the Jew, which is a relationship between a husband and a wife, between a chosen and a kala. Do you think that even if there isn't constant expression of the beauty, of the greatness, of the sensitivity, do you think either of the two things, that you will constantly be engaged in that relationship, and that the spouse, the other person, will continue to be engaged in that relationship? And if you think yes, then I feel sorry for you and your wives. I really do. Because it doesn't work that way. A relationship doesn't work that way. A relationship needs to be constantly oiled, to be constantly finessed, to be constantly updated, to be constantly re-expressed, deepened. Because a relationship that's not deepened shallows. A relationship that isn't constantly growing up is growing down. That's what happens in Ruchnius too. That's what Shlomo HaMelech said in Mishlei, Orachaim lemalo lemaskil lemaan. Because if not, you're going to sura mishol moto. You can't. A relationship doesn't stay static. A relationship is dynamic. It's always moving. It's either moving up or down. You don't be nice, and you don't say a couple of nice words every regularly, and then you miss a couple of this, and you forget a couple of that, and you sleep late a couple of days when you were really supposed to take care of something. Your wife or your husband or whoever it may be will be very disappointed. Anyway, yeah, okay.
What if one side?
Go ahead.
What if one side does give and love and everything, the other side is not.
The other side is not?
One side is putting everything away.
Okay, so then that relationship doesn't have too much hope for it. Okay, what's the next question? What's that?
So basically...
And for two reasons. Number one, because the one that's not giving, the other one is not receiving and growing in that way. And the one that's not giving is not growing his part in... The one, you said one is not giving, only one side is giving.
No, I know, but the other side is receiving.
Okay, so I'm saying the one that's not giving, it's not only that the other person is not receiving, but it's that non-giver himself is losing in the relationship, because the greatest part of the relationship comes from giving. The sheresh of the word ahava is from the root of hav, giving. The one who gives, you develop a relationship more by the giving than even by the receiving. But you need both, because if you don't give, then the other one doesn't receive. The one doesn't receive, they see you're not interested in the relationship. And if they both give, then they're both strengthening the relationship, and each one is receiving, so sees that the other one is still involved in the relationship. And that's how relationships grow. And the same thing is in the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I can only tell you like this, and forgive me, but I just have to tell you, life is full of difficulties. Some of the difficulties are overwhelming. Some of the difficulties are unimaginable. Some of the difficulties are mind-boggling. And there is no other source of strength in the difficulties of life other than one's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Sipurnu says when it says, Boni matem la'Hashem Elokeichem, lo yisiskoidedu v'lo yisosimu korcho. So the Sipurnu says, well, what's the hemshich? Boni matem, don't mourn. This, that used to be very fanatic, extreme mourning practices. So he said, the connection is, no matter what the loss is, Boni matem la'Hashem Elokeichem, you have a relationship which is even closer, which is even greater, which is even more loving. Therefore, don't overly mourn the loss of a loved one, because you have this, and that's the only real source of strength. Through the challenges of life, through the tragedies of life, knowing that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom, knowing that He takes care of me, knowing that He loves me, knowing that He's there for me, knowing that everything He does for the good, knowing that even when I don't understand what He's talking about or what He's doing, I can't imagine it, but it's all for my good.
So, that means that there's tefillah and there's personal prayer, right? Personal prayer is when I get to talk and have a relationship with Hashem. I understand Him, He understands me. I'm trying to grow, but tefillah itself seems more of an avodah. It's a job. There's a script that needs to be followed. You have to deal with them, and you have to wait your thousands and so on.
Excuse me.
And now, I would say more than that, your time is capped. Okay. Because then you also have to say, Kaddish. So how much time are you really able to have there, Shmuel?
Okay. Very good. So let's just put things in perspective. Originally, prayer was personal prayer. There was no min ha-Torah. There's no nusach for tefillah. There's no nusach. Tefillah is the Torah calls avodah shebalev. Ezuhi avodah shebalev. Zut tefillah. That's all. It's avodah shebalev. It's feelings emanating from the heart. It seems from the poskim that at the time before there was a nusach tefillah, it seems that there was an inyan midoraisa to say the words. Because the feelings of the heart, unless they're expressed in words, are not focused. My heart, I'm really thinking about football, but I'm really talking to Hashem about Parnosa. So it has to be, the words at least give some focus. The Rambam says that in the Tkufa of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, they saw that people were not able to be Mechaven already. The language wasn't as clear to them. They didn't have, I think he says, they didn't have the kriches of expression, such deep emotional expression to really express their feelings. You look at the Rambam, I think it's the end of the first paragraph, or the second paragraph in Hilchos. What? What's that? That's what it seems it says. You look inside the Hilchos Tefillah. No, they didn't express. No, this is before there was a text. There was just Avodah Shebalev. So the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila formulated a text which should give expression. The text has so much expression. It's so rich. It so lends itself to personal expression even in the text. Let me finish. I disagree with you in that the text itself, which is written in a formal way and which is about the Rabbim, also has so much in it. This is personal stuff. When we say it, we're talking about ourselves to Borech Oleinu, not just, and it's not selfish, it's me and everybody else, but it's me too. So the tefillah was written, let me just finish the thought, 1 second. So then the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah came along and made a nusach, but it's interesting, I believe that once they made the nusach, the need to say out the nusach is no longer min haTorah. It's a whole complicated lumdus, but it's not min haTorah because now that there's a nusach, you can now focus. The reason that they said you had to speak was because you couldn't focus the machshavos, but now you could look in the siddur and look at the words. So even if you don't say, so it seems from the Mishnah Berurah brings achronim, it seems that you have to say the words, or at least the mechabes lashon is lachatuch. To cut the words with, in other words, at least to say them, even not enough to hear, but just that there should be some focus. Because now it's easier to focus because it's a text. When there's no text, it's much harder to focus. So therefore, the Institute of the Minat Torah, it seems you had to do speaking. Now that there is a text, now it seems all you need, Minat Torah, all you need is to really just focus the words and even say it. Because the Iker of Tefillah is Avodah Shebalev. So that's what you're doing, and these words are personal, they mean personal, and then, besides everything else, which I always mention, I neglected to mention now, I appreciate you mentioning that, is the Chayodim writes in the Tzavor, that in every Shmoneh Esrei, before you step back, after you said Yivla Rotzei, to ask for personal things in any language that you speak, and that, what? No. After you say Yula Rotze Nimrei Fi. After that, and then probably the best thing is.
After you're already done?
Yeah, no, so then you should say Lekaina Shemecha. Yeah, you're right. Before I say Leman Shemecha, I think that's what he says. Before I say Leman Shemecha, you said already Yula Rotze in the first time, and then to ask personal Bakoshes, and those personal Bakoshes can turn the whole Shemoneh Esrei into an Avodah Shebalev, because I'm asking for something I want. I just want to throw out one more thing.
Is that a Tichon Tzibura?
What?
Wait, let's say you're with a minion and you're right.
Don't get so angry or upset. Do it later. For such ain't economy.
Why did the last part turn the whole thing?
What? Because the tefillah, it's one tefillah. You stood. This is you're doing one tefillah.
Like
so at least, if you at least tefillah is some part of it. At least some part of it was Avodah Shebalev. Mm-hmm. At least there was Avodah Shebalev. You did something. And I want to just add one more thing, Rabbi Yisai. This is a good deal, because tefillas Rabim is nishmas. It says Dirusha Hashem b'himotzoi, that on the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, a tefillas yochid is heard, it's considered close to Hashem and to be accepted like a tefillas rabim a whole year long. A whole year long you need that for a tefillas rabim. It seems to me a dover poshut that if a person inserts his own personal tefillah in the Shemoneh Esrei together with a minyan, then the whole minyan is saying Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu. What we're all asking, each one for the rabim, each one for the personal things, and it's like the whole tzibur is being misfollowed for Atzoros. I think it's a very good deal. What can I tell you? That's my story.
So everything that is being said afterwards is all preempted by understanding what you're saying. You go to
okay.
And you don't know what you're saying every day.
100%. So that's why the good news is that we did in this little thing we have every day after Shacharis. We finished already Shemoneh Esrei once. We did already Psukei Dezimra once. We're now finishing Birchas Kriya Shema. We did Shemoneh Esrei already. Maybe we'll do the Tachnun and something, and then we'll go back and start again. And that's important to do constantly.
I'm just asking on the timing of that. It could be that people after being in davening for 45 minutes or an hour, whatever it is, doesn't want the second davening is over to run, go here, a few things on davening. Oh, want a couple minutes, maybe. I'm saying the timing of it.
That point is very weak.
Yeah.
That the timing of it, then maybe if there was a different time in the day to go through,
you want
feel
a different
it, more people meet. Because every morning I see you,
meets,
two or three people there.
Meet CD,
meet. So if there's another time,
the kids like this.
No, meet
CD, meet CD. You want to organize another time? I'll be very happy to oblige. Very happy. I think it's a very... Oh, that's the one day I can get out of here early. Okay, we'll see. Right, we could... Not half hour from the afternoon, say it, I'm not going to do.
15?
We could maybe... 5 minutes at the end, maybe we could do. Yeah, we could do something like that.
5 minutes?
10 minutes. We can't do too much. Okay, anyway, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Anything else?
What about the feeling?
Oh, so Birchas Krishma is like
this.
What?
Feeling of that.
Of feeling, well, this is the beginning of feeling. Once you realize that it's about relationship, then you start to develop feeling. What? You don't agree?
Let's say, for example, someone's very angry. I know a guy I haven't been. He says, I'm angry at this guy. I'm not like him. And he's sick. Rafa'enu, I don't want him to be sick. I don't want him to get better. Everyone but him. I can't say that. How can you even say Rafa'enu? It's not even real to him.
I don't know. We can't solve everybody's problems in this meeting.
It's not personal. This doesn't feel real. It's an avoid. This is what you want me to feel this way.
It's very real for all the people that you do want them to feel better.
Okay,
so I don't know what to do about this one guy who faced it, so then just forget about him.
I'm saying, but when I make someone, when they say this, when I say cringe, when they say bad midas,
having such kavona that you're going to cringe about that one guy, I don't know. Okay, here, let me just deal with his birchas kriyashma. I'm not sure that I hear that. Just that birchas kriyashma is like this: kabbalas al malchus shemayim, which is kriyashma, is not an easy thing. The first brocha of birchas kriyashma talks about in shachris talks about the kabbalas al malchus shemayim of the malochim. So first we set the stage of Briyas HaOlam. We talk about Yoytzeh HaMa'iros. At night we talk about Ma'ariv HaRovim. Then in by day we set the stage by talking about the Kabbalos HaMalchus Shemayim of the Malochim. V'chulim Mekablim Aleihem, and they say Kodesh, and what that means. So we discussed that once, we can discuss it again. And then when we finish Yoytzeh HaMa'iros, which is the creation in its most dramatic and obvious form, then we get back to Kabbalos HaTorah. And then we're ready to be Makabu the Malchus Shemayim. And then after that, we deal with Yitzias Mitzrayim. The part that's after Hashem Elokeichem Emes till Shmon Esrei is basically dealing with Yitzias Mitzrayim and the Geula. And that's basically the structure.